Just a few moments, we're going to be singing about a new creature. And maybe you'd like to become a new creature in Jesus Christ, as the Bible teaches. You can do that in just a moment. Dead to the world, to voices that call me. Living anew, obedient but free. Dead to the joys that once did enthrall me. Yet 'tis not I, Christ liveth in me. We're certainly glad to have you with us this morning. We have an excellent crowd, and we have a number of visitors with us, and it's good to see you. Plan to make your visit with us again, and feel comfortable while you're here with us today, please. Jesus emphasized, "A new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if you love to another." One another. Love one another, the Bible teaches, doesn't it? You know, there's a lot of emphasis in this volume on one another. That's you and me, right? What does the Bible have to say about one another? Well, first of all, it has a lot to say because it's mentioned some 34 different times in the Scriptures. And it's important for churches to have a good understanding of one another. And churches oftentimes that don't have a good understanding of one another, you'll have problems like internal fussing and contention. When there's a good understanding of one another and what the Bible teaches about it, you won't have any of that. Let's look and see just what the Scripture says about one another. Well, one thing the Bible teaches about one another is that we need to edify one another. Let's notice that the Bible does, first of all, indeed teach that. If you'll turn in your Bibles to the book of Romans, in chapter 14 and in verse 19. Where the apostle to the Romans said, "Let us therefore follow after things that make for peace, and things wherewith one may," now listen, "edify one another." You might like to underline that in your Bible, highlight that some way, because it emphasizes one another. Edify one another. Now, what do we do when we edify one another? Well, we'd have to know what the word edify means, wouldn't we? The word edify means to build up. It means to strengthen one another. That means you need to build me up. You need to strengthen me, and I need to do that for you as well. How can we do that? How can we help each other from that standpoint by edifying one another? Well, there are lots of ways that we can do that. We're doing that right now, aren't we? We're edifying one another right this moment by looking to God's Word and teaching God's Word. We're being strengthened by that. We're being built up by that. But certainly there are other ways that we can do that as well. We need to be thinking about others and the fact that they need strengthening. They need to be built up. You know, there are things in this life that have a tendency to press us down, right? To sometimes maybe discourage us. And isn't it comforting when somebody comes along and strengthens you and edifies you and builds you up and encourages you? We can edify one another through worship. The Bible teaches that very clearly. But in the book of Ephesians in chapter 4 and in verse 29, the apostle said, "Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good," now listen, "to the use of edifying." Be careful what you say, because it could tear down. It could discourage somebody. It could cause somebody to say, "Well, I mean, if that's the way he feels, I just don't think I'm going to ever come back." Watch what you say to people. Be careful how you come across to people. Oh, be yourself. But treat one another like the Bible teaches. But that which is good to the use of edifying. Let no corrupt communication come out of your mouth. That's Bible teaching. That's not just good advice, by the way. Sometimes we'll say, that's good advice. That's more than good advice. That's Bible teaching. Let no corrupt communication come out of your mouth. But that which is good to the use of edifying. Now listen, that it may minister grace to the hearers. What's that do for the person that receives the strengthening, the edifying, the building up? It ministers grace to them. It's helpful to them. It builds them up. It does what it's designed to do. It encourages them. We need to be edifying one another, don't we? And you know, sometimes just the word that you say may be exactly what the person needed. I needed to hear that today, somebody says. I really needed to hear that. I needed to be together today with my brethren so I could hear these things, so I could be built up and strengthened. I needed that. And so worship is a good way to be edified. And people that don't avail themselves of opportunities to worship, they miss out on that, don't they? They miss out on the opportunity to be edified through that means. In the book of Colossians chapter 3 and in verse 16, the apostle says, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching, now listen to these words, and admonishing one another. There's one another, right? Teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. What a pleasure to be able to join our voices together as we did just a few moments ago to sing these spiritual songs. Because when we do that, we're worshiping God, yes, but we're also building up and we're edifying one another in the Lord. Those songs and the words of those songs are designed to do that in our hearts. And may we sing out, and may we sing to the Lord these spiritual songs with grace in our hearts. Let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly. I've always believed that that makes the difference in singing. Why? What's the difference? The group says, come help us with our singing. We don't know what's wrong. Well, you know, sometimes what's wrong is the Word of Christ is not dwelling in the brethren richly. That's the problem. And they want lessons on music, and they want lessons on singing. And you do all of that, and they get done, and the singing's not a bit different than it was. Because the difference is sometimes the heart. It's letting the Word of God dwell in you richly. That's what the Bible teaches in Colossians 3 and in verse 16. And then we're privileged to admonish one another, to edify one another, to build each other up. We can edify one another through worship, can't we? And so be here. Don't forsake the assembling of yourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. The Hebrew writer said in Hebrews chapter 10 and in verse 25, what a great privilege today to be able to worship God because we're edifying one another. But we also edify one another through teaching. As you teach someone, you're edifying them. You're building them up. You are strengthening them. But how are you doing that? Through the Word of God. The Word of God is designed to do what? Build us up. It's designed to strengthen us. In the book of Acts chapter 20 and in verse 32, listen to what the Bible says. And now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of His grace. Now, what are we reading about? The Word of God. Now, listen. Which is able to, you know what it says, don't you? Build you up. and to give you an inheritance among all them that are sanctified. What's the Word of God able to do? Well, you could make a long list of the things the Word of God's able to do. It's powerful, isn't it? It's amazing what the Word of God can do that I can't do, you can't do, but the Word of God can do it. The Word of God can build you up. And so what we need to be doing is taking the Word of God. Well, I said, I went and I heard a sermon and the fellow didn't say a thing about the Word of God. He told us all these stories. He told us about a trip that he took out west and how he visited this and did that. Wait a minute. Doesn't the Scripture say that it's the Word of God that builds you up? What is it that builds you up? I mean, you might like all them stories, but it doesn't build you up like the Word of God can build you up, because there's nothing like it. Teaching is designed, when it comes from the Word of God, to build people up. And may we always teach the truth and nothing but the truth, so people can be built up. And it can give you an inheritance among all them that are sanctified, because through teaching, by being built up, we learn what we need to do to obey God and be right in His sight. And by doing that, we have an inheritance awaiting us in heaven. Edify one another. We can edify one another by showing appreciation for one another. We appreciate one another, don't we? We appreciate you. We appreciate everybody that's here. And we need to let them know that, don't we? That's why the Bible talks about greeting one another. In New Testament times, they greeted one another. And handshake was not as common as it is today, like in our society. Well, they kissed one another. That's the way they greeted one another. And so the Bible emphasizes, greet one another with a holy kiss, because that was a means of greeting one another. We use a handshake oftentimes today, don't we? To greet one another. Hello, how are you? How you doing? Show appreciation. Thank you. Thank you for what you've done. Thank you for leading our singing today. Have you ever been to a place where they didn't have a song leader? I have. I've been places where they say, we don't have any song leader today. What are we going to do? In one place, this is back forever, even thought about trying to lead a song. Hadn't been that many years ago. Meb was worried to death I'd get up to lead a song. Oh, no. Oh, boy. Surely not. She can tell you all about it. The hardships. So a lady had to start the singing from her seat. Well, there's some other men there, but they were too timid and too bashful to get up and to lead a song. Thank you for leading singing, because we want to have men that are able to stand before us and to be able to lead singing. We need to be able to show our appreciation. What about those that wait on the table? Thank you for doing that, for serving this morning and helping us with that. Thank you for preaching this morning. Thank you for teaching the Bible class this morning. You want to have another Bible class? We need a teacher, don't we? Show appreciation. It's designed to build each other up. Just thank you for being here. Thank you for being who you are. Thank you for your words of encouragement. Thank you for your love of the truth and your desire to do what's right. Thank you for bringing your children to the services of this church. Thank you for spreading out the gravel in the parking lot. Thank you for mowing the yard. Thank you for getting here earlier and turning the lights on. Thank you for turning the air conditioning on. There are a lot of things that we sort of take for granted, don't we? Somebody will do it. Well, who is it that? Who is that somebody? Because there are places where they don't have anybody to do it. Edify one another. Build each other up. Oh, it's not so that we'll just feel puffed up about it, but it's so that we'll be strengthened. So we'll be encouraged to continue on doing the will of the Lord. God intended for us to edify one another. And if we don't edify one another, let me ask you something. Who's going to do it? You think the world's going to do it? Is the world going to encourage you? They going to build you up? They going to strengthen you? Absolutely not. It's up to us. It's up to you. Jesus said, love one another. But the Bible also emphasizes that we need to be kind to one another. You know, kindness goes a long way, doesn't it? But in the world, it's sort of missing a lot of places, isn't it? The book of Ephesians, chapter 4, and in verse 32, another one another verse. And be ye kind to one another. There's a good underline right there, or a highlight. Tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Be what? Be kind. Be ye kind. You know, if people are going to be kind, it's sort of up to us, isn't it? And sometimes the reason people aren't kind is because nobody has shown them any kindness. Oftentimes that happens. They're raised up in a home where there's not any kindness. Can you imagine being raised up in a home like that? I'll tell you what, when you get out and you get into people's homes, you're just liable to see all kinds of things today, I'll tell you. The arguing and the fussing and the fighting. I mean, sometimes the real McCoy, too. The real fighting. The things that actually go on in some homes. And people grow up around that. They've not seen much kindness. Somebody said they went to the hospital to visit and they said, what can I do for you today? They said, how about just a kind word? How about just a kind word? Maybe that's what we need. It is what we need. And be ye kind to one another. Sometimes maybe a person describes himself as a Christian, but they manifest a cold and a sour disposition. It's contrary to the Word of God. We need to change that. And we need to be kind to one another. And somebody said that kindness begins with a smile. And you've all heard you're never fully dressed without a smile, haven't we? Kindness means not being rude. Although there's a lot of rudeness in the world, isn't there? Well, just sit at the stoplight a millisecond too long, right? They're going to get right on that horn. I mean, that's what that horn's for, isn't it? That's why they put them on the vehicles. So you can do that. The world's rude. And then they rev up the engine and they go around you. No telling what you're liable to see then, right? They're mad. They may be shaking the fist or whatever they're doing. They're upset. And sometimes, you know, they'll cut you off. And next thing you know, a fight ensues. Those kind of things happen. And people are killed over those kind of things even. Isn't that amazing? What about a little kindness? Kindness means not being rude, not being mean, not being despiteful, not saying things that are hurtful and harmful to others. It leads to thoughtfulness and thinking about others and putting them first. How would I feel if they did that to me? How would I feel if they said that to me? How would I feel? Think about that. It might help you tender what you say and what you do toward others. Because we're to treat others as we would desire to be treated. Edify and be kind to one another. That's not all the Bible says on the subject. It also says that we need to use something toward one another. And by the way, it's not use one another. It's use hospitality one toward another. That's in 1 Peter chapter 4 and in verse 9. Use hospitality one to another without something. Remember what it's without? Without grudging. Without grudging. What does that mean? Use hospitality. That means be hospitable. What does it mean to be hospitable? Well, somebody says, well, that means to be kind. Yeah, that's true. We've talked about that. But it means more than that. Hospitality is loving others, even a stranger, somebody you don't know. And maybe that stranger needs something. Maybe they need a meal. warm meal because they haven't had one for a long time. Maybe they need some clothes on their back. Maybe their house burnt down. And they've lost everything. Use hospitality one to another. But you know, it's emphasized here, one to another, brother to brother, that we need to use it one to another. While we need to be hospitable to all people, we need to use hospitality to our brethren because of what hospitality does for others. What does it do for you when somebody's hospitable to you? Says, hey, why don't you come over and spend some time with us? Come into our home. And we'll have a meal. And you get there and the table's spread. And wow. That's special, isn't it? That's a lot of trouble. Oh, not really. We're glad to do it. You're glad to do it, right? But you know, a lot of people look at just like preparing a meal as that's a lot of trouble. Don't they? Anymore. That's not a lot of trouble. What about hospitality in the Bible? Were people hospitable? Abraham, he was sitting outside there. You know, it seemed like just waiting for somebody to come by. Come in. Get everything ready. Well, they had a lot to get ready. You didn't just run to the village pantry or whatever and pick up something. He said, all right, take the calf and kill it and start baking some cakes. And that was a lot to do, wasn't it? They're glad to do it because that's the way you treat one another. You use hospitality one to another. It's being warm and friendly and kind. Hospitality is vital to a congregation of the Lord's people. People in the church that are not hospitable don't become close, don't become meshed together like they should because they really don't know one another like they should. Oh, and we've talked about, haven't we, Brother Darrell, how a lot of places, you know, about the time the amen said, everybody just right out the door. You ever been to a place like that? I'll tell you what, you're not at a place like that today. You're not at a place like that today. And I hope it never becomes a place like that. Because we don't need that. And we need churches that are warm and kind and friendly that use hospitality. Hey, glad to have you in our area. Is there anything you need? Is there anything we can do for you while you're here? Maybe somebody's come to find out, and we've had this here. Yeah, my mother's in the hospital here. Oh, she is. Is there anything we can do? What's her name? What's her room number? Can I go by and see her maybe? Can we have a prayer for her? What can we do? And maybe they're staying in a motel. How about come staying with us? Whatever it takes. Use hospitality one to another. And be friendly and be kind. Show hospitality to others. It has a way of building up the church. I'd like to be a member of a church like that, somebody says. You know, isn't that sort of the idea? I'd like to be a member of the church where the gospel is taught. I'd like to be a member of the church where people love one another like the Lord teaches. I'd like to be a member of the church where they use hospitality one to another without grudging. Oh, it's not, well, you had us over last time, so I guess it's time for us to have you over. You know, kind of putting a mark on the wall. There's no marks on the wall around here, are there? You see any? I don't see. Well, no. Who went where last time? That doesn't matter. Does it? It's not about that. Promotes love and unity. Integrates new members. Encourages weak members to be strong. Lots of good reasons. The Lord knew it. God knew it, and that's why He said what He did. But you know, there's another one another, and we mentioned it a moment ago as we read a scripture, but let's emphasize it in Ephesians 4 and in verse 32, and that is forgive one another. Be kind, he said, tender-hearted, forgiving one another. You know, that may be the hardest thing you ever do, is forgive somebody, especially when it really hurts you. They really hurt me, and I just don't think I can ever forgive them. Sometimes a woman struggles with that when her husband's unfaithful, or vice versa. forgiving one another. Now listen to the rest of the verse. That's not all of it. Even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Now we're seeing it. Now we're beginning to understand. God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. God has forgiven us. And if God can forgive us, surely we can forgive one another. I don't have to hold a grudge. Somebody said, yeah, I'm going to bury the axe. I buried the axe, the head, but I left the handle hanging out of the ground so I could grab it when I need to. You've heard that, haven't you? And you reach down there and there you got it again. It's always right there. See, you just got to get down there and get it. That's not forgiveness. Forgiveness is forgetting. It's done. It's over with. No more. And it's also restoration to a proper relationship. It's not just, I've forgiven you. Oh, you have? You don't act like it. How come you don't act better then? How come you don't act like you used to? How come we're not friends like we used to be? You said you've forgiven me. Have you? Probably not. You probably haven't really forgiven. You probably haven't really buried the hatchet. You probably have got that somewhere in the back of your mind. You've got to get over that. You've got to forgive one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. What if God did that? Yeah, I remember when you were sinners. I remember when. Does God do that? God doesn't do that. He desires salvation. He puts those things aside, forgives, and we move on. You know, there needs to be an understanding of other people. And I know that's probably one of the hardest things is human relationships. We're complicated creatures, aren't we, all of us? We really are. And we make mistakes. You ever make a mistake? I tell you what, I make mistakes. Made a lot of mistakes. I need forgiveness. I need forgiven. We need to be understanding of others. We need to understand something about their situation. Now, wait a minute. Why did they say that? I don't know why they said that. Well, wait a minute. You might if you knew. If you knew. You didn't know. I didn't know that. Now I understand. You ever been there? You know what I'm saying? Why'd they do that? I don't know why they did that. Somebody says, did you know? No, I didn't know that. Oh, boy. I can't hardly imagine. Now I'm beginning to understand. I see. I wish I would have known that sooner. Forgiveness. It's not always easy, but God commands it. We can't hold grudges, bitterness, hatred, malice within our heart. That's sin. Somebody said that forgiveness is the fragrance given off by the violet when it's crushed. And then finally, love one another. That kind of brings us back to where we started, doesn't it? In John chapter 13, that beautiful verse, 34 and 35. A new commandment I give unto you that you, listen, love one another. Even as I have loved you, that you also love one another. Now let's think about that for a moment. Look at that verse. Have you got it in your Bible? You've got it in black and white, but this one's actually red if you've got a red letter edition. Because Jesus is saying that. And that's the red letter, right? Now Jesus is saying, I give you a new commandment. What is this new commandment that's really not new, but is new in a sense that he's talking about? It has to do with love. It's not, you might stop and think, now what would God say? I'm going to give you a new commandment. Love God. Is that what he said? He didn't say that. We are to love God, and the Bible teaches us to love God. But the new commandment that I give unto you is love one another. Love one another. Now, look at the rest of that. As. How? That tells how. as I have loved you. Jesus is saying, you love each other like I love you. Well, we'd have to know, does Christ love us? God commendeth His love toward us while we were yet sinners. Christ died for us. That's love, isn't it? Christ loves us. He even died for us. That's how much we need to love each other. We'd give our lives for each other, wouldn't we? In a heartbeat. Would you have to think about it twice? No, you wouldn't have to think about it twice, would you? If somebody came in this building, started shooting, how many of us would rush to the front and give our lives willingly? Everybody would be rushing to the front, wouldn't we? Because we love one another. Christ gave His life. Now listen to verse 35. Sometimes we stop at 34. But listen to 35 now. Again, it's John 13. By this shall all men know. What's all men going to know? By what? By the love that you have for one another. The extent of that love. What you do, how you show it, how you demonstrate it, what you do for each other, maybe how you say it. I love you. I love you, brother. I love you, sister. We love you. By this shall all men know that you are what? My disciples. If you have love one for another. That's a big if, isn't it? What if not? If you don't have love for one another, they're not going to know you're the Lord's disciple. They're going to say, these aren't the Lord's disciples. I'm at the wrong place. I'm going to go somewhere else. And some churches haven't figured out yet why they can't grow. People come and they leave. Well, did anybody talk to them? Anybody show any love toward them? By showing any hospitality toward them? Oh, I didn't. I had to get out. I had to go. Where'd you have to go? What's so important? What about your brother? What about your sister? What about one another? Well, I know there are things to do. But isn't this the Lord's day? It is, isn't it? Isn't this the day the Lord has set aside for us to be together and to worship together, to be together? To serve the Lord, to love one another, and every day. We need to treat one another with genuine love. And others will know, I'm at the right place. These are the disciples of the Lord because of their love for one another. Well, there's more, but we'll stop there. Sometimes we sing a song, love one another, don't we? One another. I appreciate my brethren here so much. I don't know of any place I'd rather be a member than right here. We've been members a lot of places over the years, through our travels from north to south, and mostly north to south. From Florida to Tennessee, to been with brethren in lots of places. I don't know of any group of people I'd rather be with. I see a genuine love here. Don't you? One of the things that I appreciate about this group is that people seem to have a respect for one another that sometimes other people don't have, places don't have. And that makes a big difference. We need it everywhere. And I'd like to see it everywhere. But sometimes you go and you visit other places and you see it's just not there. They just haven't figured that out yet. And the difference that that makes the congregation of the Lord's people. May we always understand what it is that's important about one another and do the things that God bids. Appreciate you being here. We do love you. We do appreciate you. And may we be mindful of each other. And if there's things we can do for you, please let us know. We'd like to help you any way that we can. The invitation is extended at every service like this to give people an opportunity, to give you an opportunity to obey the gospel of Christ. Upon hearing the word of God, you need to believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. You need to be willing to repent of your sins, confess your faith that I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, and be baptized for the remission of your sins. Somebody says, why do I need to do that? Well, one reason is because that's what the Lord taught. That's what the Bible teaches. Mark 16:16, Jesus said, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. Because that's what the apostles taught. Peter taught it in Acts chapter 2 and in verse 38. Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. He went on to say that baptism doth also now save us. I didn't know it was that important. Well, the Bible teaches that. And we can give book, chapter, and verse 4 that in half. And just live a faithful life to God, serving Him each day, realizing what's really important. What's important in this life? Oh, it's important that I get this done and I get that done. And oftentimes come to find out, oh, that wasn't really that important, was it? And you know what? Sometimes people don't figure out what's really important till the last days of their life. You ever notice that? Don't wait that long to figure out what's really important. Don't wait till you get on your deathbed. Don't wait till you come down with the C word. Did it take that to really figure out what's important? God teaches us what's important. Fear God and keep His commandments, for this is the whole duty of God, whole duty of man. For God shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or evil. Fear God and keep His commandments. And if you need to obey the gospel, we're ready to help you. If as a Christian you've drifted away, we haven't been to one another what we ought to be, say, I'm sorry. Say, I'm sorry to that person. Say, would you forgive me? That's not so hard. To restore a relationship like it ought to be, do that. It's worth that, isn't it? I've not been as kind. Help me be better. I love you. Give them a big hug. Whatever it takes. And maybe it's a public thing. The Lord's provided for that as well. Say, I'm sorry. I'm confessing that. And I want God to forgive me, and y'all forgive me too, please. Because I want to do better, and you help me, please, along the way. One another. The invitation of the Lord is yours. What are you going to do with it? While we stand and while we sing, won't you come?